All right, welcome back to hour number two of the Chase and Big Joe Show, right here on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel, the perfect Omni Nashville Hotel. Chase McCabe off today. He's actually giving a big speech downtown on LinkedIn, cloud storage, and architecture to a big convention group that's in town. So Dr. Crane's with me, and Brando behind the board. And I really enjoy these segments each week because we've talked to Terry McCormick for a long time, but he just the honesty that Terry brings is just so great. So Terry McCormick joins us now. Terry, good morning, or good afternoon to you, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Doing well. Hey, before we get started, where can everybody find your material, your content? Where can they go to find that?
Okay, you can go on any of the Main Street media papers. That's Gallatin News, Hendersonville Standard, Murfreesboro Post, Main Street, Nashville. All those that are owned by Gould Enterprises throughout Middle Tennessee. And then TitanInsider.com, which is also affiliated with Main Street Media. You can get everything right there in one place at TitanInsider.com.
I love it, love it, love it. All right, Terry, the news came out yesterday about John Harbaugh being released from the Ravens. Now, everybody wants to bring him to town. Terry, I think he'd be a fool to come coach the Tennessee Titans. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, I think he's going to have probably better opportunities, Joe. I think the Titans absolutely should want him because he would bring the kind of stability that's been lacking for the last couple of years in this organization. But I think he's going to have opportunities to take one of these other jobs and probably have a better opportunity to win right away rather than wade through all the rebuilding that the Titans are going to have to do.
Oh, I totally agree with you on that. Do we think at the end of the day that the best fit is probably going to be Matt Nagy because of his relationship with Borgonzi? And he has proven that he's a head coach before, and he took the Bears to the playoffs. We all know his resume, but I just think the relationship he has with Borgonzi, it's almost to me, Terry, it's a done deal. I'd be shocked if it's not.
Yeah, I think he probably is the favorite right now. You know, they're going through and vetting a number of candidates. I'm intrigued by Kevin Stefanski just because he's a two-time coach of the year in Cleveland, and any measure of success you can have there certainly is a feather in your cap. And I think, with Stefanski having already, lived through 6 years of coaching in Cleveland, he could probably handle the dysfunction that goes on with the Titans better than most candidates would. But Nagy is probably the odds-on favorite to get this job because of that relationship with Borgonzi. And then, you can't take away from him the fact that he did take the Bears pretty deep into the playoffs
right
here with Mitch Trubisky at quarterback. So that's not nothing.
Terry McCormick's on the line with us here on the Chase and McJoe Show. Terry, looking at the candidates that are up for grabs in some regards, the Titans are going to interview Steve Spagnuolo, Matt Nagy. I'm intrigued with the interview process when it includes Steve Spagnuolo because it just feels like his time as a head coach is kind of done in the NFL, but I could be wrong. It sounds like and looks like to me that it's more of a get-to-know Matt Nagy through Steve Spagnuolo type interview.
That's possible. I mean, I wouldn't consider Spagnuolo a super strong candidate, but then again, they're also bringing in Jason Garrett for a look, so I don't know what that's all about.
Right.
But it's kind of crazy. You know, the ones that intrigue me of this first group of candidates that are in, I kind of like, like I said before, Stefanski, Nagy's okay. Raheem Morris is certainly worth a look. I think he was more a product of the Falcons just wanting to clean house as opposed to him doing a poor job with what he had to work with there in Atlanta. So that intrigues me somewhat. Some people are, excited about Vance Joseph and what he can bring to the table, and he certainly is a good defensive coordinator. But like a lot of these guys, he flamed out in his first go-around as a head coach.
Yeah, and to that point as well, listening to Mike Borgonzi yesterday, what impressed you most? Obviously, he didn't reveal much, but what impressed you most from his comments yesterday from that press conference?
I think the thing that impressed me is that you know that this guy's in charge and this guy is going to do things the way that he thinks is best to get this organization back on track. You know, the question is, will Amy Adams Strunk leave him alone long enough to let him do his job? Because this is going to be more than a 1 or 2 year process, I think, to get this team going back and into contention. I mean, yes, you could do like Jacksonville, you could do like Mike Vrabel's done in New England, but, you know, more likely with as many holes that are on this Titans roster, 2027 would probably be the earliest that you could look at this team and say, yeah, maybe they can contend again.
All right, talking to Terry McCormick here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, I see Matt Nagy is interviewing with the Raiders tomorrow, according to Ian Rappaport. Say he gets gobbled up, right, and then Stefanski goes someplace else. Would the Titans, like Clint Kubiak's getting all this love, Terry, all this love, all these interviews, but again, he's never been a head coach, but he's called plays. Would they go down that avenue again of bringing in a guy who's not a head coach, who's never been a head coach before?
It's possible. I don't think it's the preferred method, but it's possible. I think, you know, the Brian Callahan deal left a bad taste in their mouths, but I also think Brian Callahan maybe bit off a little bit more than he could chew, being both the head coach for the first time and a play caller for the first time. And I think that that's part of the, what kind of got him off track and he, where he wasn't able to really take things the direction that he wanted to take it. To me, you know, if I'm going to go, I'm going to throw a dark horse candidate out there at you, and this is somebody that is right on their doorstep, and I think they really should take a look at him. If they can't land a head coach with experience, they really should take a look at Bones Fossil, not just as a special teams coach sticking around, but why not give that guy an interview to see if he could be a head coach? Because you see how he has fixed the Titans special teams that was horrible for about a decade, and all of a sudden they're the best unit of the three on the team this year, and it's all because that guy got a message out and got people to believe in what he was doing. If it'll work for special teams, would it not maybe work for the whole team?
Well, here's your blueprint for this. Is John Harbaugh. Remember when he came over from the Eagles? He was a special teams coach with no head coaching experience, but the special teams coach, and Tim Hasselbeck's told us on the show, the special teams coach touches basically every player on the team at some point, except the quarterback. I know that. But he talks to all these guys. So, look, he's well-respected. You know, he took over when Fisher was canned at the Rams. I just don't know if he wants the job. I never hear him talked about.
Well, he said he told us last week he'd love to be a head coach at some point.
Well, there we go. Terry McCormick, yeah. Players love him. I mean, why not, right? I don't think it would excite the fan base. But then again, that's not who you're trying to prove yourself to, is the fan base.
Yeah, exactly. And Joe, one of the things, too, about this coaching search, you know, to me, and I don't mean to, you know, dog the organization or anything like that.
Sure.
I'm just being honest here with all the problems that they've had over the last few years. To me, in this hiring cycle of the 7 openings, there are 3 that are kind of first tier and the other 4 are second tier simply because of the continual dysfunction. I look at the Ravens, obviously, as far and away the best job available, because who wouldn't want to coach Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry?
Right.
I look at the Giants just because of the stability of ownership, even though they've struggled of late. And Joe Shane is still there as the GM. I still think that's a first-tier job. And then I look at the Atlanta Falcons as a first-tier job. There's some talent on that roster. And even though they don't have a first-round pick, and even though there's uncertainty at the quarterback position, I think the Atlanta Falcons is an attractive job because Arthur Blank is a pretty good owner. And the other 4, the Titans, the Browns, the Cardinals, the Raiders. I mean, what do they all have in common, Joe?
I don't know.
Would it surprise anyone if multiple of those teams are looking for in 2 years? If you're a coaching candidate, the first thing you want to look at is, who am I working for? And then the second thing you want to look at is, what am I working with? And you have to answer those two questions before you take any job.
You're exactly right. Let me throw one at you. It's no secret that Matt LaFleur is having a great relationship with the Packers brass up in Green Bay. If they get bounced out by the Bears this weekend, could his name, and he's looking someplace else, he was only here for 1 year, rumor has it, Amy kind of likes him. I mean, I wouldn't mind that, right?
Oh, I think that would be great. I think that would be absolutely a home run hire. If Matt LaFleur were to become available and you could get him to come back to Nashville, that absolutely would be a home run hire. I mean, you know he has interest in it because he interviewed for the job back when Mike Vrabel got it in 2018.
Terry McCormick's on the line with us here. Terry, kind of switching from the head coaching aspect of things to the actual roster, there were some comments made this past week in the locker room. One was the edge rushing position in Arden Key. He expects the Titans to have him back next season. Are you under the same sentiment?
You know, his opinions kind of flow whichever way the wind is blowing sometimes. I love Arden, but, you know, he said, I expect to be back with the Titans, and then 2 minutes later he said, Yeah,
that's what you get for talking about Arden Key, Terry.
Get zapped.
Playing both ends again.
Yep. Arden Key, not like you talking about him. Terry gone.
You know, I asked him about Will Levis and would he have a place on this team in 2026? And he said, yes, he does. So to me, that shows me that Mike Borgonzi, even though Will Levis didn't pan out as a starting quarterback, that he's smart enough to know that the guy is on a cheap contract and they're probably 4 to 5 teams that he could be a starting quarterback for right now in the league.
Right. Now he's talking about Will Levis. Will Levis
level
is
back
out.
Up. He paused. We saw what happened with Brandon Allen on Sunday, and that was terrible.
Yeah, big old dumpster fire, absolutely.
Right.
You kind of cut out there a little bit, Terry, but you mentioned Will Levis. And looking at the whole Cam Ward AC joint injury and how that takes a little time to recover from that, I mean, you asked a question, and is there a possibility? And he said yes. Do you think there is a viable possibility that Will Levis could be maybe competing for a job here?
Yeah, I think he probably comes in and he's starts camp as QB2. And, you know, with Cam's shoulder situation, you know, it's possible that Levis could get a lot of the first team reps throughout the OTAs and even into minicamp if the injury with Ward lingers that far. And like I just said before, I think, you know, it's smart to hang on to him because he's cheap. You know, why would I want to pay $5 million for somebody who's maybe a half a step up from Brandon Allen when I've already got this guy on a cheaper contract, and if something happens to Cam Ward, I can just plug him in and play.
I agree on that. So Chase and I had this little discussion the other day, Terry, that so I think somebody's going to make Mike Borgonzi an offer in the offseason for Jeffrey Simmons that he cannot turn down. In the back of your wonderful mind, you see something like this happening? Because I'm telling you, if I'm a GM of like the Bears or the Niners, I'm going after Jeffrey Simmons because I don't know about my first-round pick, but I can offer up a bunch of guys to get this dominating defensive tackle. I just see this happening, but am I crazy?
I don't – I mean, everything they say says – but, you know, I would probably put him at the deadline. And because if Williams, two picks, including a first-rounder – what's Jeffrey Simmons going to fetch?
And right.
Simmons playing at a fantastic level, an all-pro level this year. Probably going to be a pro, I would think.
Just let this go for as long as we can. Terry, are you in a tunnel? Are you part of that new boring tunnel with Elon Musk?
He's still going to be playing at that level. Are good again in 2 to 3 years.
I love everything that you said. I absolutely love with all that. Terry, as always, thank you. We enjoy you coming on just because your honesty is so wonderful. It's refreshing. We appreciate you, my man. Thank you as always.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. Terry McCormick there. Loved what he said about Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah.
We'll read that back with the decoder. sometime. You have a decoder in your little thing?
I was listening to bits and pieces of it. He's mentioned something about how what Jeffrey Simmons would care about at the deadline if it was a first in a couple seconds.
Yeah, and what he would take. I'm telling you, man, I would not trade Jeffrey Simmons within the conference, but I would if I would trade him to the NFC and give me the farm, buddy.
You know what we didn't ask him? His favorite wing spot.
What is your favorite wing spot? That's the question of the day.
It is the question of the day, presented by Aries Tactical.
615-737-1025. We'll get back into our question of the day. A friend came to town. He's like, hey, man, where are the best wings in town? And I'm like, I don't know. And so I said, I'm going to go to our audience tomorrow and ask you guys, where are the best wings in Middle Tennessee and Southern Kentucky? We got a ton of responses for our question of the day. 615-737-1025. Text or call, we'd love to hear from you, right? So let us know, 615-737-1025. Where are the best wings in Middle Tennessee? Let us know. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show brought to you by the Omni National Hotel. 1025 The Game. All day on this song. Everybody.
You dropped the bomb on me.
Hey, Brando, get off the table. Dr. Crane, who sings this song? Do you know?
I've played it multiple times. I don't know.
That's okay. You're young, yeah. But you got an old soul.
Yeah.
Brando, you know who this is?
Oh, yeah. The Gap Band.
The Gap Band. Yeah.
I mean, you put this at the Frasier Disco, everybody's on the floor.
Yeah.
You play some of this new nonsense?
Couple broken hips, if you ask me.
Nobody's getting
so
up
So we'll be
there.
On the floor. Yep. Right. Couple broken hips, ceramic hips, all
whatever
busted.
Whatever it is, yeah. Welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show. Chase off today's downtown giving a big speech. I hope it goes well for the LinkedIn cloud certification, architecture, storage, and everything. I mean, he's a big wing in that
Since
world.
Since we're not able to tap into it, I've heard they've recorded on their end.
Good.
So they'll send us a copy and
we'll
be good to go.
He does a really interactive presentation down there, and it's a wonderful thing. All right, our question today is the best wings in Middle Tennessee. There's a backstory behind that. We'll tell you what later it is, but we need to know what the best wings in Middle Tennessee. But first, your phone calls. Let's go to the phone line. Our man, Kenny the Mailman. Kenny, good afternoon. Thank you as always. What's happening?
Happy New Year, Joe. I want to be a better friend to you this year than last year.
Well, you were a great friend last year.
Excellent. Now, I'm turning the tables a little bit on you, Joe. I got a Joe Dubin question for you. I wish Chase was there because I wanted to know how well he knows you. Are you ready for your question?
Yes, sir.
Just 48 hours ago, Monday was a great show between 12 and 3. You were very passionate. You got passionate with Chase. You got passionate with a couple of callers. What subject were you the most passionate on Monday afternoon on 102.5?
It was about Cam Ward running the football.
Okay, is that your final answer?
That is.
No. Someone mentioned, and it wasn't even true, that there was some chocolate pies at the station.
Your whole
demeanor changed. Do you remember?
Yes, because Chase.
You went from, hey, everybody, to, where's my pie?
It was our morning meeting. That's right.
Chase said that Dr. Crane brought in a bunch of chocolate pie, and it was really good. And I was not in on the joke, and I thought Dr. Crane brought in chocolate pie, and I was very upset.
Yes. Hey, you don't think your listeners could tell you went from happy-go-lucky Joe to where's my pie?
Was I more mad at the pie being left out or Cam Ward?
Well, here's what I'm going to do for you. Babette is a world-class pastry chef. I don't know if you knew that or not.
No, sir.
Your next West radio stop. When y'all have a remote, I'm going to get her to make you some chocolate pies, but you got to share.
My hero. Absolutely right. Share.
I promise to that. And here's something else about Monday. I love John McClane. I don't know why he hasn't yet, but he needs to write a book. When he told the story about Bum Phillips getting his hat stolen and then people from all over the country mailing him his hat, I went and read that story. He autographed a lot of them and gave them to charity, and they raised hundreds of thousands of dollars from hats that were sent to him. Isn't that awesome?
I think John wrote a book called, is it Winner Loser Takes All about the Adams family?
I don't know if he's written one or not, but he needs to write, and the title should be 101 Stories That You've Never Heard, because he has got them. And, oh, by the way, I keep up with you. Yes, you need to write your book about Nashville anchors.
I wouldn't have any friends after that. Hold on, don't go anywhere. I'm going to figure that John McClain did write a book about the Houston Oilers, which was really, really good, and I haven't thought about that book in a long time. I'm going to find this. He wrote a book. I thought it was Loser Takes All.
I'm going to find that because he is an amazing resource, and y'all do whatever you can keep him because I like everybody, but he is great, and his phone's a little better than Terry McClain. Oh, I meant that the good way.
Oh, we'll do it. Thank you, Kenny. Appreciate you.
Have a great day.
All right, thank you. Back to the phone line. Adam in Portland. Adam, are we agreeing or disagreeing about trading Jeffrey Simmons?
Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever seen Kenny the Mailman and John McClain in the same room?
I've never seen Kenny the Mailman at all.
I think they're the same person, man. They sound exactly alike, and I've never heard anybody like lobby for a dude out of nowhere like that. And I've always said he sounds exactly like John McClain. So I think it could be him.
I
completely disagree with
you. Go ahead.
I disagree with you, Joe. I don't think you can trade Jeffrey Simmons. What do you think these interviews look like this week? All right, let me look at your roster. You have one good player. That's it. Like, you guys, I understand you could probably get a vote for him, but you're not going to find any more players like him in this draft or in free agency. You're not going to find another Jeffrey Simmons. So, really, you sell a coach, especially a defensive coach, with you have a key piece that we could build around. But if you take that away, dude, it's over. So, and he is a baby, and there's so much not to like about him off the field, but there's so much to like about him on the field, I don't think you could trade him.
I get it. They still went 3-14 with the best defensive player in football. You trade him and give me four draft picks in this draft and have six or seven guys in the top 100 all day, Adam. All day, baby. Adam's gone. One more call. Mark, our question of the day, where are the best wings in Middle Tennessee? Mark, what's up, man?
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Good, Bubba.
Hey, let me tell you, anybody wants hot wings or hot chicken, period, it's Bolton's Hot Chicken down here on Main Studio. In East Nashville.
That's like the OG, right? I mean, that's like the best of the best of the best.
You get a mild, medium, hot, extra hot.
Bolton's. Down on Main Street. Have you had some lately, Mark? Have you had some of that lately?
Oh, yes, sir.
Did you have to go sit in the creek?
Basically.
We'll write it down, Mark. Thanks, Bubba. Appreciate you, man.
Hey, y'all need to try it. I'm telling you.
Is that the one where the owner threw the grease on her husband for cheating on her?
He left.
I think that's – isn't that the story?
I haven't heard that story, but I've eaten at Bolton's.
Or is that Princess?
Princess is that story.
Oh, that's – okay.
That's Princess.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Brando.
Bolton's is like the OG of the OG spots.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you drive by there, you're like, that's got to be good. And the old building, oh, man.
I believe it's a white building with red lettering.
Something like that, yeah. Down on Main Street down there. All right, again, let us know, 615-737-1025, the best wings in Middle Tennessee and Southern Kentucky. Coming up next, college football is changing, but Dr. Crane has a little idea. Is it to keep things – to
structure things a little bit.
Structure.
Yeah, maybe a little more structure without including government. I'd say.
Thank God. Yeah. Right? All right. The floor is yours next. Dr. Crane, the czar of college football.
Well, I don't know.
We come back here on the Chase McCabe and Big Joe Show presented by Omni Nashville Hotel on 102.5 The Game. All right. Welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show right here on 102.5 The Game. Oh, man, the Clash. Dr. Crane, you don't know a lot about the Clash, do you?
I don't.
You're young.
Yeah.
You'll get there. So good. So good.
I've heard this song, though.
Heard from Chase. He said the LinkedIn cloud storage convention went really well. He's now gone over to the table to sign autographs and take pictures.
Good for him.
I mean, to be that smart and know about cloud storage and all, I don't know the first thing about that. If my iPhone doesn't upload it, I'm lost.
I don't even know much about my own storage. I don't even know what's...
yeah. That's what she said.
You're right, yeah.
Well, all right. By the way, did you see who's coming to the Ryman in May?
No.
David Lee Roth.
Really? What are tickets like?
Well, all right. His videos of him the last year haven't been really good. But it's still David Lee Roth.
So I'm asking, what are the ticket prices?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't paid for a ticket in forever. I'm looking, I'm like, I can't afford it. Can Chase get this for me for free? No, all right, I'm not going. then I don't go. I love the video you sent me of Mike Vrabel. We can't use it on the air. But look, as curmudgeon-y of that guy is, I find him fascinating.
I love it. That's right? What a football coach should be. If you have a player that's in some sort of legal issues, and this is before, obviously, it was all taking place,
yeah,
and he's on the sideline, and he's just saying, hey, stay in your lane, using other choice words.
Right.
I'm all about that. I really am.
I think it's great. All right, college football, we got the one game tomorrow night between Miami and Ole Miss. That's the Fiesta Bowl. Then Friday night is the Peach Bowl between Indiana and Oregon. But college football, Dr. Crane, right now is in complete disarray.
Yeah.
I love the games, but my goodness, man, I don't know. This guy, that guy, give me this, give me that. I'm holding out. I mean, it's chaotic.
I think we're going to get to the point, Joe, where a lot of these boosters are going to say, look, we're not going to fund this anymore. You have enough revenue sharing from years past where you can use that money and use it wisely. I mean, when you get rid of the source, when the well runs dry and you get rid of the source, trust me, they're going to start utilizing the money properly. When you just cut off the source, that's all you need, really. Because you look at quarterbacks now, DJ Lagway, Sam Levitt, all, especially DJ Lagway, great example. He had, a lot of his money on his deal, I guess, front-loaded in a roundabout way. Okay. So you can cover the cost up front with the NIL deals and whatever is for the university. Because he left Florida, he's got to give some of that money back probably.
Did he sign that?
Yeah.
He signed a deal that he's got to give money back if he leaves?
Well, yeah, every player does on their NIL deal, right?
No. No. Who was the guy that left Alabama for Wisconsin and they came back to Alabama in the same year and he took the money from Wisconsin? You don't have to give the money back.
I mean, I didn't hear that.
You don't have to give that money back. Yeah. It was a lineman. Look it up in 24. He left Alabama, went to Wisconsin. They gave him a nice NIL deal, realized, hey, I don't like it here. I'm going back to Alabama, and he kept his money. And they're like, this is a problem. Does his name pop up? If it does.
I'm looking it up right now. I'm not.
And that's the thing.
I'm popping up.
Yeah, I forget what lineman it was. Committed there, came back, and then kept the money. And like, what are we doing here with all this?
Well, what I'm trying to get to is if you have money from a collective of the university, you're more than likely probably going to be required to give that money back in some form or fashion because you didn't fulfill your full, in this case, contract. Because if you look on Twitter and all these, you know, media outlets, they're saying players have re-signed with their, I call them organizations, with their universities. Like, Deshaun Bishop, the running back for Tennessee, just re-signed with the Tennessee Volunteers. That, to me, is not a... It's not a university negotiation. That is a contract. That when you say re-signed, that's a contract. So the fact of the matter is, when you use that jargon, that's implied. You follow me?
I get you, yeah.
So I'm saying for DJ Lagway's sake, if that is the way it was used in that lingo, it's implied you probably have to give that back.
So it was Elias Lennon? I'm saying his name wrong.
Oh, the Wisconsin Alabama guy?
Yeah, but he said he stayed at Wisconsin. I thought he came back to Alabama after not being up there, that he was so just. Anyway, again, that's another problem when it goes on. Now, our good buddy of ours, Barrett Hobbs, right? We're talking to him, and we're talking about the Music City Bowl, about all the opt-outs, and
right.
Tennessee wasn't Tennessee. And he said something to me, and I brought it up to you, which I loved. Tie your NIL deal into completing the bowl game. If you opt out of the bowl game, you don't get the money. Part of the money you don't get.
That guaranteed aspect of it, right?
That guaranteed aspect. If that happens, Tennessee beats Illinois by 40 points.
100%.
So tie the NIL deal. You cannot opt out. If you opt out, you lose your money. Well, I'm going to worry about the draft. I don't care. If you opt out, you're not getting your money. Bottom line.
I mean, that's spot on, and that's, I think, the solution to this whole problem right now with this surplus of money being distributed across college football to all these different programs. Because you look at the Alabamas of the world, and by the way, Alabama, now that Ty Simpson has declared for the draft from what you told me earlier.
And some of their guys, like one guy is going to Ole Miss, these five stars are jumping ship.
Offensive linemen are leaving. This could turn bad quick.
Yes.
And that's why I think if you – like you're talking about signing their little contracts or their little whatever you want to call them.
Right.
Call them contracts. and have that in there saying the NIL has to be involved with it, that I think you have a lot more players stay. And also, too, I mentioned at the start of the show how the NFL is kind of pricing, or the college football is pricing out a lot of NFL draft prospects. I think this follows under that umbrella as well. Because when you start to not really regulate it with government, you know, officials, but you're regulating it through contracts of NILs and all that, that then has the players saying, maybe I should go to the NFL because I'm not getting the same amount of money I am in college.
Right.
But that's only to the universities that have the boosters that say, you know what, I'm done funding this.
Well, Troy Aikman came out about the quarterback at UCLA. Was it Dante Moore? Went from UCLA to Oregon. Is that the one?
Yep.
And Troy's like, I gave all this money, did not get a thank you, did not get whatever, and then he left.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not are you well-versed to speak about this Washington quarterback thing?
Not well-versed, but I know of the subject. So didn't he collect the NIL money and leave Washington? Is that what I'm gathering
here? Yeah, but did he sign something?
I believe it was the
it's so confusing. I'm like, what the – just give me – like, tell to me like I'm a fifth – like I'm a five-year-old.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Explain it to me that way.
Let's see here. Let's see. Washington quarterback – hits the portal despite signing a deal with Washington University.
University of Washington.
University of Washington, excuse me. Let's see here. Just talk amongst yourselves real fast.
That's like when somebody said, what's the final score of the Preds game? Oh, they won 3-6. I'm like, I'm not your friend anymore.
6-3.
I am not. If you give me the backward score, I'm not your friend anymore. Hey, the Dodgers win. Oh, they won 2-9.
Yeah, no.
I'm not your friend.
I know.
Okay.
Just know this. The lazy eye can cross things, so just remember that.
Don't blame it on that.
I'm not double lazy-eyed. Let's see. It says he agreed to return to the Huskies for the 2026 season, but has also entered the transfer portal. So, and this was as of Tuesday, so to yesterday.
But did he get money?
I'm looking.
I read somewhere that he got money, and like he's not giving it back. It's so confusing. But you're entering the transfer portal, but I'm staying. You know what made me laugh? There's a lineman, and I think he was at Kansas, said, I'm in a transfer portal. Here's the five schools I'm looking at. And one of the schools he looked at was Kansas. Like, he put his own school where he is on the board. I'm like, what is going on with this? All right, you found it?
Yeah, it says here Washington quarterback Williams Jr. recently signed a one-year, roughly $4 million revenue-sharing deal with the Huskies, but is trying to enter the transfer portal at the same time, causing a major dispute with the school, considering it is a binding contract preventing his departure, according to Yahoo Sports. So,
oh, that is just unbelievable.
That's a yikes moment.
All right, we'll take a break. You have a Lane Kiffin topic that I find very interesting. All this go. By the way, Charlie Weiss Jr. is going to coach in the game, and then another coach. And the four coaches out are four coaches that, like,
graduate assistants.
Yeah, and one co-offensive coordinator who doesn't call the plays, so I don't know why they gave him that title. But I'm interested on your Kiffin take because I think this is all – look, I don't care he's making $100 million.
Right.
This is all imploding around him, and somebody's coming out of this looking awesome. So I want to get your take on that. All right, this is the Chase and Big Joe Show brought to you by – we'll talk. Steven, don't go anywhere. We'll come right back. This is Chase and Big Joe's show brought to you by the Omni National Hotel right here on 102.5 The Game. All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe show right here on 102.5 The Game. Chase off today. Well, he's not off. He's down giving a speech downtown on cloud storage and architecture. And Dr. Crane is sitting in. Brando behind the glass. If I was a bodybuilder, I'd come out to that song.
Who wouldn't, right?
If I'm a body, isn't that funny? If I was a bodybuilder, good lord.
You kind of are.
I really am.
You do,
right?
Yeah.
Huge. Just huge. I got to get rid of the carbs, though. Welcome back to the show again. Really thankful. Terry McCormick today. We had Dave Becker on, Charlie Becker's father, the great wide receiver, Indiana. Plus, you guys are great with all the interaction. Before we get to Dr. Crane and Lane Kiffin's take, let's go back to the phone line. Steven, welcome in. Do you have more on the Bama transfer guy?
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on. Yes. The transfer I believe you're talking about was Caden Proctor, the offensive lineman.
Yes.
Because he's from Iowa. He was committed to Iowa. Nick Saban flipped him to Alabama. And then after his freshman year, Saban retired. He, Caden Proctor, transferred to Iowa for about a week and then decided to come back after Alabama got Kalen DeBoer.
Did he refuse to give the money back? Did he get some money?
I'm not sure about the whole NIL deal. I think he was kind of homesick, but then realized Alabama was a better football location for him than Iowa.
All right, good. Caden Proctor. Steven, thank you, Bob. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Sir, y'all take care.
All right, thank you. I never said we were smart. We just throw things out there. And our lovely listeners always end up saving our tail. 615-737-1025. All right, the Lane Kiffin part of this. Yeah. Before we start, I think Charlie Weiss Jr. has solidified himself as a damn good man. Those kids at Ole Miss love him, and I'm pretty sure. I just think Kiffin's like, well, I need you here. He did fly back. They had some quarterback came in at LSU, some commitment that they were trying to get, and back and forth. But the fact he's sticking with this, I think this is a good. I think it's because I think he's a good man.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
And like you mentioned before, he might be setting himself up something in the future.
Yeah.
Like that is the big thing for it. And also, too, like that Ole Miss staff, and you made a great point for the break, those graduate assistants aren't doing much. They're not moving the needle for a lot of these players.
Sure.
You got to remember that. But as to the Lane Kiffin aspect of all this, boy, oh boy, has this, I think, may have backfired in his face a little bit on the surface for right now. The fact that your former team is in the college football playoff semifinal and they're just – trucking along without you, that's one thing.
Right.
The other thing is the transfer portal. Well, we've all seen how the transfer portal can change programs. Obviously, Indiana is one of them. Vanderbilt's another. You look at right now, they have 26 outgoing transfers, according to 24/7 Sports.
LSU does?
LSU does.
Well, I thought he was the greatest thing ever, right? I thought Lane Kiffin was the best.
We all thought that, right? And look, I'd say about, well, for sure one of them that he lost was, I'd say it's a big loss. It's a 4-star offensive tackle. Guess where he went, Joe?
Is that the Ole Miss guy?
Bingo. Yeah. Went to Ole Miss. And the fact that you go look at Ole Miss's page, they only have 3 to 4 transfers transferring out. They have more people coming in than there is going out.
Right.
Which is a great thing to have in the world of college football. You have a surplus of something. And whereas Lane Kiffin doesn't. And the guys that he is bringing in, Lane Kiffin that is, bringing them in from G5 schools, he has probably like – 1 or 2 or 3, you know, power 4 players here and there. But the fact that they're G5 guys that are 3-star recruits, maybe they're the cream of the crop at the G5 level, but that doesn't get it done at LSU. And I'm sure there are LSU fans out there thinking, well, it's Lane Kiffin. He always tends to build things from the bottom up. He'll be able to do this. Now, this guy is going to manipulate this program once again like he has done everywhere else, and he is probably going to make LSU fans a little bit more frustrated than they were with Brian Kelly.
I'm with you, man. And look, he went to LSU. Why did he go to LSU and take the money out of that? Why did he go to LSU and not stay at Ole Miss? Because he thought he could
win a national championship there.
Right?
And look at your team right now.
One went away from competing for the national championship.
And because of that, Joe, you've been on this train of Ole Miss this, Ole Miss that. They're the team of misfit toys, the abandoned children at the adoption center.
Yep.
I'm kind of on the same page a little bit.
As a
Mississippi State fan, I don't really want to say, hey, go T-Sun. Go do your thing.
Yeah.
I will say, do have a little bit of affiliation. A buddy of mine I played high school ball with is on staff there, so shout out to them. So,
you can say his name.
Jay Shoup, Bob Shoup's son. So, yeah, he's done a good job over there with Ole Miss.
And look, I like Miami. I like that because nobody wanted him in. Stay out. Nobody wants you in. And they're just wrecking havoc.
Yeah.
But Ole Miss story is wonderful.
And the fact that Trinidad Chambliss is, what, applied for a 6th year because of his time with the D2 school, and I think it was granted, right?
Think he's waiting to hear.
Waiting, okay.
I do not think it should be allowed.
But if it is allowed and he does stay at Ole Miss, imagine that. Because, look, he has the opportunity to have another year, and instead of going with the Lane train, he'd stay at Ole Miss. Imagine that. In a world of college football where it's already at a disarray, and you add that to the equation, it's like Lane Kiffin's diabolical plan is backfiring on him in his face.
And I love it because Saban was like, he should be allowed to coach at Ole Miss. Shut up, Nick. Just shut up. And I'm glad they said no. And then McAfee told him, he's like, you know, Bob Chesney going from James Madison to UCLA.
It's different.
Far different than Kiffin going to coach your rival. Let him stay there by recruiting? No. You don't want to be here. That's my thing. You don't want to be here? Go. Take care. We don't need you around.
And I'll say this. If he did coach in that Georgia-Ole Miss matchup, they would have lost that game.
Probably. Guy's never won anything in his life. Yeah. But he's making all the money. I don't care. I don't care. You know what's funny? Quick story. This guy one time I was talking to, and his buddy is like a multimillionaire. He kept on and on. I said, look, man, at the end of the day, it comes down to one thing. He's like, yeah, what is it? I'm like, can your friend, yes or no, whip my ass? You can laugh.
Yeah, that's great.
He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, at the end of the day, can your friend whip my ass? He's like, probably not. And I said, then I don't care how much money he's got.
Exactly.
I do not care how much money you have. Are you a good person? You open the door for the sweet old lady going to the grocery store, right? You helping the guy who's broke down change his tire? You doing that? I'm all about you, man. But this just talking about, and this guy may be listening, and you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, can you not whip my ass? I don't care how much money you got.
It's like that Roy D. Mercer video you're talking about. Yep. I'll come down there and I'll whip your ass. That's exactly.
How big of a boy are you?
Exactly, yeah. Great videos.
Then I'm not putting out there like I'm some, you know, mighty G.I. Joe. I'm just telling you, I get tired of hearing he's got a lot of money, he's got the cars he's got. Great, can he whip my ass? That's the bottom line.
Money can't buy
you. If you can't, even better. I hope so, right?
Yep.
I don't care about it. So Kiffin going to LSU, making all, I don't care. I love the fact that Ole Miss, like, go away, we're going to do this. And I think it's a great story. And I'm telling you right now, everybody's rooting for, a lot of people rooting for Ole Miss. Even your Mississippi State fans. Yep. I got friends that are diehard Auburn fans who hate Ole Miss. They're like, we're rooting for him because of Lane Kiffin.
Isn't that crazy? The fact that one guy can change the tune of thousands, of hundreds of thousands of college football fans. That's what blows my mind a little bit.
It was. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back next. We're going to topic. It wasn't our question of the day, but we want to get into it about being a referee. Right? There was a thing happened last night, Auburn and Texas A&M. There was a last-second buzzer beater by Auburn that was weighed off, and people went crazy on the refs. And I'm just – we'll get in that. Would you not be a ref? Also, our question of the day, and you guys are great with this, where are the best wings in Middle Tennessee, Southern Kentucky? We have a ton of responses. Dr. Crane will read those. I had a friend come to town and said, I didn't know where the best wings are. I didn't know what to answer him. But we've got a lot of responses because you guys are fantastic. Where are the best wings in Middle Tennessee, Southern Kentucky? Let us know. 615-737-1025. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel, right here on 102.5 The Game.